Anyway, we're talking about prayer today. We're talking about prayer. Can you throw my slides on the back screen there? We're talking about Daniel's prayer. So if you have your Bibles or your Bible app, we're going to go to chapter 9 of Daniel. And Daniel has been engaged in chapter 9 in a very intense prayer. I mean, he is really attacking the gates of heaven, asking God to do some pretty incredible things. And so we've been walking through this chapter and talking about prayer. And not only prayer, but effective prayer. Hopefully we want to become better prayers. But how do we judge what is a good prayer? How do I pray to God? How do I get God to answer my prayers? One of the gauges that I can look at in my life, if I'm being effective in prayer, is can I name some prayers that I've recently prayed that God has answered? If you were to look over the last 6 months or year of your life, can you rattle off a prayer or two or five that you've been talking to God about and you see Him answering? Because if I don't always see God answering my prayers, either it's a long-term prayer or I'm not praying effectively. The second question is how do we pray? Do we need to be kneeling down? Do we need to have a time limit on it? I remember when I was a little kid, on this refrigerator was all of us. We had five kids in our family, and there was your name and your chores for the week. And one of our chores was praying for 5 minutes on our knees. We had to be on our knees to pray. And if we did it every day for those 5 days, I think we got 50 cents. Cheap, isn't it? My parents were so cheap. 50 cents for doing chores every day of the week. But I remember kneeling down by my bed and praying and thinking missionaries, parents, family, neighbors, pets, fish. You know, I'm trying to think of all this stuff to pray about, and I look up and 2.5 minutes of my five has gone by. But what makes us effective in our prayer? Daniel is going to show us some things in chapter 9, because Daniel's life has purpose. We've been assigning a word to each chapter, and the word that I assigned to chapter 9 was living a life of purpose. And Daniel simply defines purpose as having an authentic relationship with God and having a wonderful, meaningful impact on the people around him. That's what life is all about. My life, if I could boil it down to purpose, is simply have an authentic relationship with God. And what we see in this chapter is Daniel is sitting and he's having this intense time of prayer with God. And in verse 3, we saw that he is fasting, which means he's declining food so that he can spend more time with God. And when he feels those hunger pains, he's willing to say, I want to spend this time not feeding myself, but seeking the face of God. That's fasting. And it says in verse 3, he also was sitting in sackcloth, which is like burlap. And he's purposely making himself uncomfortable to remind him that he is going to be talking seriously with God. And then it says he's sitting in ashes. He's taking some dirt or ashes and he's throwing it up in the air and he's letting it fall down on him. Not because he's trying to get God's attention. Not because he's trying to appease God. He's doing it as a demonstration of his heart that, God, I'm serious about this. I'm so serious, I'm declining food. I'm so serious, I'm making myself uncomfortable. I'm so serious, I want to humble myself, so I'm throwing dirt and ash up in the air and letting it fall on me, so I'm humbling myself before you. So God, please, please, God, I'm coming to you in a serious way. That's the intensity of the prayer that we see that he starts in chapter 9 and verse 3. So is intensity the key? Is position the key? The successful prayer is repetition. What is the key to successful prayer? Because I don't know about you, but I want successful prayer in my life. And I'm sure many of you today have things that are dear to your heart that you're really wanting God to help you with. Situations, circumstances, attitudes, different things that you want God to step in and to help you with, but you're not either sure how to approach him about it or how intense you got to be, but we just want God to respond and we want God to answer. And so as I've been poring over this chapter, I've been trying to discern what makes effective prayer. And I think Daniel tells us there's two things. Daniel has an intense prayer. Starts in verse 4, all the way down to verse 19. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. And in verse 20, he kind of wraps it up with a summary statement. So in Daniel chapter 9, in verse 20, he says, "Now while I was speaking and praying," so you'll notice that prayer is speaking to God. And now Daniel's prayer was about his people. It says they're confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel. Why? Because they were in bondage in Babylon. Remember that? They were in exile. They were in captivity. And Daniel understood why. Because they had blown it for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And God brought people to warn them, knock it off, knock it off, knock it off. They didn't knock it off. And so God allowed them to experience something difficult to get their attention. Daniel understands that. So now he's confessing, man, we really did blow it, God. Maybe your intense prayer isn't necessarily a prayer of confession. It's a prayer of supplication. It's a prayer of asking God for something. But he says there in verse 20, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel. So the first thing that we notice there, that he's praying for his people Israel. And verse 20, presenting my supplication before the Lord my God in behalf of the holy mountain of my God. Now, the holy mountain is a reference to the mountain that Jerusalem is sitting on top of. So Daniel is saying, God, here's my prayer, that you would do something for your people and you would do something for your beloved city. That's the intensity of his prayer. That's the two focal points of his prayer. And he's been praying that prayer from verse 4 to verse 19, and verse 20 is a summary of it. So now let's see how God responds. God responds to Daniel's prayer in two ways. Number one, he's going to send a special messenger to Daniel. We're going to see that in just a moment. And second of all, he's going to give him a special message. A special message. So the way that God responds to Daniel's prayer is first to send him a special messenger and then to give him a special message. So let's look at the first part. In verse 21. Now watch this again. In verse 20, he says, I was speaking and praying. Verse 21. While I was still speaking in prayer, then the man who? Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision previously. Remember, we met this guy, Gabriel, a couple chapters ago, or last chapter. I had previously seen in the vision. He came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. You got it? Explain that to your grandkids. He came to me in my extreme weakness about the time of the evening offering. Well, it's interesting in that verse when it says, he came to me. That phrase literally means he sought me out, he looked for me, and he put his hand on my shoulder. He touched me. So Daniel, in his weakness, in his fatigue, so it's interesting that he reveals to us that this intense prayer time that he was walking through was exhausting. My friend in Africa always reminds me of this. Prayer is work, but prayer works. Prayer is work. Prayer is spiritual work. It takes energy. It takes concentration. And if you pray intensely, it tires you out. Daniel says, notice the phrase there in verse 21, in my, not just weariness, but my what? Extreme weariness. He was exhausted. And now Gabriel shows up. He seeks him out. He touches him. And he strengthens him. The first thing that Daniel receives as a response is a messenger. And you'll notice there at the end of verse 21, what time of the day did he arrive? He came about the time of the evening offering. Now that's an interesting statement because there's no evening offering taking place. Daniel's in Babylon. He left Jerusalem 65 years ago. Daniel's now probably 80, 82 years old, and there is no evening offering in Babylon. So what is he talking about? Daniel, this is so cool. Daniel is thinking back to his childhood when he lived in Jerusalem, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the priest would come out and offer an evening offering in the temple. And in Jerusalem, in the olden days of his childhood, people would know at 3 o'clock, the priest is going out and he's making an offering. And that evening offering was called the sin offering. God, if your people blew it today in the workplace, at home, at school, we're going to offer an offering for that sin. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's interesting that Daniel is praying and confessing the sin of his people at the same time of the evening offerings of his childhood. And that's when Gabriel arrives. So it's about 3 in the afternoon. This is not a vision of an angel. This is Gabriel actually appearing to him. And in verse 21, it says he strengthens him. Look at verse 22. It says, he gave me instruction and talked with me and said, Daniel, I have come forth to give you insight with understanding. If you like to underline phrases in your Bible, underline that phrase, insight with understanding. He doesn't say insight and understanding. He says insight with understanding. Insight means to be skilled at something. You're a professional at it. You know it inside and out. So Daniel, I'm going to give you an understanding, and it's going to be a skillful understanding. I'm going to give you a message, and I want you to understand it, not as an apprentice, but as a master craftsman. I'm going to give you something that's pretty heavy here, Daniel, and I want you to get it. I want you to get it. He's preparing him for the message. Boy, as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, sometimes my best insights to life have come in prayer. I spend a lot of time reading the Bible, studying the Bible. I'm so thankful every week that you guys allow me by paying my salary to study the Bible, and I don't have to work outside of our ministry. But studying the Bible has been awesome, but the most insightful things that God has shown me have been in times of prayer. That's why I want to become a better prayer. And Daniel is told, get ready. I'm going to give you something pretty heavy, and I want you to grab it. I want you to grab it. And then in verse 22, not only does he strengthen Daniel and instruct Daniel, but he prepares him for this vision, for this instruction. Look there in verse 23. It says, at the beginning of your supplications, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message, that's a command, pay attention, and gain understanding of the vision. Hey, sit up. You know, just like your teacher told you in school, sit up, get your hands out of your pocket, get your paper and pen, because here it comes. Here it comes. Now, let's pause just for a minute and let's talk about angels. Look at this verse. What does it tell us about angels? It says, Daniel, verse 23, at the beginning of your supplications, the command was issued, and I've come to tell you. So Gabriel only came to Daniel because what? He was what? He was commanded to do so. So angels are God's messengers under God's command. And it says there in verse 23, at the beginning of your supplication. We don't know exactly how long Daniel's been praying, whether it's been 15 minutes or an hour and a half. But as soon as Daniel sat down and started his intense prayer, something took place in heaven where whoever it was, most likely God, gave the command to Gabriel. Hey, Gabriel, I see Daniel down there. Ready? Go. And boom, Gabriel comes down to Daniel. If you want a fascinating study in your Bible, just go to your concordance or look on the computer and type in the word angels in the Bible. This is the same angel, right, that talked to Mary in Bethlehem. So we know that Gabriel is called God's messenger angel. We see him several times in the Bible. So God in heaven hears Daniel's prayer and immediately sends a messenger to give an answer. Angels are God's messengers, God's tools. And if we took that study through the Bible about angels, you will find that they are God's workmen to work with you and to care for you and to watch out for you and to do God's bidding on the earth. Fascinating study. But he says, I want to prepare him. I want to prepare him. So that's the messenger. He came to strengthen, to instruct, and to prepare. Now, verse 24. It says, here's the message. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city. Now, I want you to notice there in verse 24, 70 weeks have been decreed for who? God's who? People and God's what? City. Daniel was praying about what? God's people and God's mountain. So God is answering the specific prayer that Daniel prayed. Daniel was praying about his people, God's people. Daniel's praying about God's holy mountain, the city of Jerusalem. Gabriel comes and says, I'm going to tell you a message now about God's people and about God's city. I want you to see that connection because it's important. Gabriel is not just giving Daniel a random message. Gabriel is giving Daniel an answer to his prayers. And I want to say that because God has answers to your prayers. Your prayers most likely are different than my prayers because your life is different than my life. And sometimes we can fall into the misunderstanding that God might answer prayers, but does God really want to answer my prayers? And the answer is yes. God will answer your specific prayers. He knows what's going on in your life. He, like Daniel, hears your prayers. I want to make sure that I pay attention to what God is wanting to do in my life. Because my prayer may not be like Daniel's prayer. I don't know, maybe it would be. Maybe I need to spend more time confessing the sins of his people. Do I? No, I need to spend time praying about what God is doing in us and through us and how does he want to move us from where we are to the next step in the vision. But I just wanted you to know, God will answer your prayers. Your prayers. Be confident of that. So he says there in verse 24, 70 weeks have been decreed. Now the word weeks there really is the number seven. But when they translated it to English, they didn't want to write 77s have been decreed. So 77s are coming. Now, the word decreed is a very interesting word. It literally means to look forward in history and to take a knife and to slice out the beginning of a period and the end of a period and lift that slice of history out and say, you know what, during this slice of history, these things are going to happen. They may not happen before this slice or after this slice, but I'm going to decree, says Gabriel, about God's plan, that there are 70 weeks, there is a time of 77s in history that have been marked out that God is going to do six things. And they're listed for us there in verse 24. There's six things that God's going to do during this 77s. And you can't change it. You can't overrule it. When that starts, it's going to go until God says it's done. 77s are going to take place. and it's decreed by God. And in verse 24, we're told the six things that are going to take place during those 77s. You want to know what they are? Come back next week. We're going to talk about that next week, okay? What I wanted to end up with today is something a little bit more practical and personal. I want to know, why did Daniel receive this response? Because I want God to answer my prayers. And if God is going to answer Daniel's prayers, will he answer my prayer? You'll notice there in verse 23, at the beginning of your supplications, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are what? Highly esteemed. When God looked down at Daniel, fasting, sackcloth, ashes, the phrase highly esteemed means choice one. Means one that God is bending his ear to. And I don't know about you, but when I pray, I want God to bend his ear to my prayer. And I want to know, how did Daniel do that? Because I got some pretty big things I want to ask of God. I want God to do some pretty big things in my life and through my life and through our congregation and in our community and around the world. I want to ask God for some pretty big things. Daniel's asking God for some pretty big things. And I want to know, why did Daniel get this response? Because I want this response. Oh, I don't want Gabriel to come visit me in the middle of the night necessarily, but I want, if I pray about God's people and God's city, I want God to answer about God's people and about God's city. If I pray about A and B, I want God to respond to A and B. And I'm sure you do too. So I've been wrestling with this question, how did Daniel receive this response? And what can I do to receive the same kind of response? And I found there's two things here. Number one is the content of the prayer. The content of the prayer. What Daniel was praying about. Daniel was seeking God's purpose for God's people, for God's glory. If you read verses 4 through 19, you're going to hear over and over again in Daniel's prayer, God, do this for your name's sake, for your glory, for your people. So I understand that what I'm praying about is important in relation to getting a response from God. In the book of James, James tells it this way. John. 1 John chapter 5 says, and this is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his what? He what? He hears us. So when I pray, I need to be praying. The content of my prayer needs to match itself with God's will. Daniel knew that they were in exile for 70 years, that the 70 years is coming to an end. It's in year like 66, 67. Daniel learned that 70 years was the time. And so Daniel is praying that God would restore people back to the land, that God would rebuild the holy city. That was in alignment with God's will that Daniel discovered. And so God answered the prayer. So what I need to do in the content of my prayer is say, God, is what I am praying in alignment with your will? And he hears us. You say, well, how do I know that? Well, I know God's will, at least in broad strokes, as I read the Bible. Because God's will is revealed to us here in morals, truths, and principles. Oh, I can't necessarily find a verse on how to help that wayward child home. I can't necessarily find a verse on what God is going to do with that illness in my life. I don't know what God's going to do about my next job necessarily, or where you're going to live 10 years from now, but there are a lot of morals, truths, and principles that God reveals in His Word. So as I read God's Word and I start to look at the content of my prayer, I need to just make sure that they align. And how do I do that? Very simply, Daniel said, God, I know you care about your people, and I know you care about your glory. So God, in this content of my prayer, what I really want as a result is not first and foremost about me, it's about you. So as I'm praying about the issues that I'm asking God to respond to, I make sure that the content of my prayer is more about God's glory than my own satisfaction. Does that make sense? But when I pray about a moral issue, when I pray about an issue of life, when I pray about a need, I can go to the Bible and find out God's will about those things, in not necessarily specifics, but in morals, truths, or principles. And I pray those back to God. Why? Because John tells us, if we ask anything according to His what? Will, He hears us. So the content of the prayer was in alignment with Daniel's known will of God. If you want to have a response to prayers, make sure that your prayer request is in alignment with God's will, which has to do with His glory, which has to do with my holiness. Pray that according to God's will, and He hears you. Does God want me to have healthy relationships? Absolutely, that's His will. So I pray about healthy relationships. Does God want me to be hardworking? Does God want me to be healthy? Okay. Does God want me to be successful? Does God want me to be an influence on others? Does God want me to have joy instead of sorrow? Does God want me to have strength instead of weakness? Does God want me to live by the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness? The answer to that is yes. So God, help me to do those things according to your will and your glory. I pray these things. The second thing that we notice about Daniel is not only the content of his prayer, and you know, this second one is the harder one. We notice the character of the prayer. The character of the prayer. Daniel was humble. Daniel was intensely asking. And Daniel was authentic. The character of the prayer has a lot to do with God's response. Let me show you a couple of verses. In James chapter 1, it says, but if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. He must ask in what? Faith without any what? But the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. The character of the prayer. The word here for doubt or double-minded means, you know what? I'm going to pray this, but I don't really think God cares. But you know what? I'm supposed to pray for 5 minutes every day on my knees to get those cheap parents 50 cents at the end of the week. So I'm going to go and get down on my knees and God help me, help my sisters. But do I really mean it? Okay. When I go to God, I think, well, you know what, God? I'm not really sure that you really care. I'm not really sure that you hear. Or, you know what? I really need you to provide for me this month, but you know what? I got my credit card over here. So if you don't really provide, that's okay. I got my credit card over here. And as soon as I'm done praying, God doesn't answer, and so I run and I pull out my credit card and I use my credit card. And in fact, I probably knew that that was going to happen anyway, and I was already planning on doing it, but I'm going to throw this prayer out to God. You see, that's double-minded. The word here is double-hearted or double-souled. When I'm on my knees, I'm giving everything to God. But when I'm off my knees, I'm just running with it the way I think I should run with it. I'm not waiting. I'm not looking. I'm just going to do this. Double-minded. And unstable. So when it says, you know, I grew up in the Christian home. I went most of my life, I went to Christian college, university, and I've heard many times that this verse means that if you just doubt and a little bit of faith, God's not going to answer you because you don't have enough faith for God to answer it. And if God doesn't answer it, it's your problem. That's not what James is talking about here. James is talking about half-hearted prayers where you've already decided what you're going to do, but you're going to take it to God anyway so that you can check off the box that I prayed about it. That's the double-minded man. James says, God doesn't work that way. One of the things we notice about Daniel is that he is focused, man. He is intense. And his character is true. His heart is under the guidance and focus of one. He's not a double-minded man. So God answers his prayer. Hey, if you're going to go to God, part of an authentic relationship with God is I don't go to him half-hearted. I don't say to him, God, I love you. I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to let you do this. I'm going to let you resolve this. I know that I want to get married, or I know that I want a date, or I know that I want a job, and I'm just going to let you do it, and then I'm just going to run out, and I'm going to do it my way. God says, I don't work that way. I don't work that way. Either you're going to come to me, and you're going to really trust me, and you're going to wait for me, or you're going to do it your own way. But don't spend those 5 minutes on your knees so you can check off a box and then go do what you want. That's not how it works. Daniel didn't do that. He wasn't half-hearted in his prayers. Another verse that's really good for us to look at is James chapter 4. It says, you do not have because you do not what? You know what, folks? Sometimes we don't have what we need. We don't have what we want from God simply because we're not praying about it. We're not asking. I mean, if you want something from God, you want him to answer an issue, you want him to solve a problem, you want him to bring a blessing in your life, but you never ask him to, that's like being disappointed on Christmas morning because you didn't get the gift you want, but you never told anybody what you wanted. Happened to me all the time. I go, all the time. But then James goes on. Watch this. You ask and you don't receive. Wow. We do ask. We don't receive. Why? Because you want to ask with the wrong motives so that you may spend it on what? My prayer request might sound super spiritual, but in reality, it's just something I really want for me. And God says, I don't work that way. I don't work that way. If you want something just to spend it on your own pleasures, if you're asking God to give you more money than month so you can go out and buy the newest and new, the nicer and the newest, the bigger and the better, God says, that's not how I work. Daniel wasn't asking anything to spend on his own pleasures because Daniel knew, I'm 80-something years old. I'm not going back to Jerusalem. But I'm praying for God's people who are going to go back, and I'm praying for the city that they're going to go back to. Daniel was praying for this not because he could spend it on his own pleasures. So if I really want to have the kind of response to my prayers that Daniel got, I need to be careful why I'm praying. And then this is the last one. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much, James tells us. Elijah was a man with a what? Nature like ours. This is a great little section if you like to read it. James chapter 5. Elijah prayed and it was drought for 3 years. Then Elijah prayed again and it rained. So the people of the ancient world would know that God was real. And James is telling us that the nature that's inside of you is the same nature that was in Elijah. So your prayers can be answered. But it says there, look at there, the effective prayer. What's an effective prayer? A prayer that aligns itself with God's will and is prayed by a person that is trying to follow Jesus with a whole heart. And it's a righteous man. So the effective prayer is the content of the righteous man, is the character. You can accomplish a lot because what's in you is the same that's in Elijah, and Elijah did some pretty incredible things. All right? So that's what I've learned. If I want to have a response like Daniel received, it's all about the content of my prayer and the character of the prayer. Is this helpful? This is good stuff. Let's stand together and pray today. Lord Jesus, I know that there's so many of us that have things on our hearts, issues in our lives, desires that are, they're all, the outcome we desire is good. And Lord, we're looking for your response. So Lord, help us to make sure that the content of our prayer is in alignment with your will for us. Lord, some of us need peace, strength, joy, and all these things are your will for us. Lord, some of us need answers in practical ways. So we pray, not for our own pleasures, but for your glory. We align our prayers with your will. And Lord, we check our character. We don't want to be half-hearted in prayer. We want to be fully engaged, not for our own personal pleasures, but for your glory. Help us to be good prayers. Thank you for this study this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing a closing song.